Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody, as you always are, every Friday, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time in beautiful Los Angeles. Here we are, a new year together. Hope it's a great one for you. Happy, healthy. And that's what I'm going to be helping you out with today, is basically answering a lot of your questions. I am giving you the top listener questions of 2018 and the answers to them. Well, maybe I don't have complete answers for you, but what I do is I give you suggestions and ideas on how to improve your life, how to make yourself a little bit happier, things you can do for yourself, things to think about, ideas. And again, I'm not your therapist per se, but I'm just giving you some suggestions and ideas on how to just be a happier person in general. And you know, most of us make those resolutions, and we end up not ever doing them. So we're going to start just gently easing into the new year together and learning how to make certain parts of my life a little better. So what I've done is I've compiled some of the most common and best listener questions of 2018. And so what we're going to be talking about today is helping you understand how to forgive others who've hurt you. Okay? That's a big one. So common. Also, why do I always pick partners who are not good for me? I hear that every day in my office. Every darn day. We're going to tackle it, you and I. Men and women. Okay. Number three. How can I gain more self-esteem and feel better about myself? We're going to tackle that one as well. And how do I know I'm ready for a long-term relationship? So many people who come into my office are self-doubting themselves and their relationships. And I still have that, he's not perfect enough, she's not perfect enough for me. We're going to define what that means. What is a man? Huh? Okay. You either feel it or you don't. So we're going to be talking about that as well. And also, if we have time, we're going to look at the issue of how do we know how to have a healthy relationship with someone? Now, this can be a romantic relationship. This can be a friendship, coworker relationship, whatever. So some of the things that identify healthy relationships we're going to be talking about as well. Now, these are really common questions that I've had over and over again in 2018 and will probably continue to do so in the new year. So we're going to tackle them. Hey, if you want to email me here, do so please, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. That's the place to get me here. If you have questions or comments about any of the answers that I give you. If you want to call in, sure, let's go for it. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. You have a listener question, maybe I can help you out with that. Okie dokie. So here we are together, you and I. Happy New Year. May it be healthy. May all of your thoughts be healthier. May you take better care of your bodies and minds together. May you have more loving relationships, and may you really, as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. And why do I say that? Well, because if we're not settled and comfortable with who we are, we're not going to be the best for others. That's just it. We're just going to keep relying on others to resolve our problems or make us feel better about ourselves. Nope. Got to start within first. Got to feel better about who you are first. That's it. Bottom line. Let's start with the first most common question that I've had in 2018. No, literally, I went through all these questions that you guys wrote on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And number one, how to forgive others who have hurt us in our life. Let it go. Okay, next question. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be sarcastic. It's not easy to let it go. It's really not. Yeah, really not at all. Let me refer back to a very common question that I had from listener Lisa back in the summer. That's what I hear all the time. I've heard it's really important to forgive people who have hurt us. I'm living on my own now. I'm 28. I have a pretty good job. But growing up, my parents were a mess. My mother was always into her own needs. I think she was a narcissist, and my father was an alcoholic. I've drawn boundaries with them, but I haven't learned to forgive them. My dad was emotionally abusive, and my mother was narcissistic. No one seemingly was there for me. I have a younger sister, and she's pretty messed up too. Can you give me some suggestions as to how I could protect myself and forgive others who have hurt me, including boyfriends who've dumped me? Okay. It's a tough one. I mean, as you guys know, growing up, that's really our initial experience to finding out who we are in the world. When we first gaze upon our parents and they're screaming and arguing or they're unresolved and they have stuff. You know, our first impression is, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? I am not lovable. And that's all part of the self-esteem question we're going to answer too. But when we are hurt, when we get into adolescence, even, you know, sometimes elementary school, but when we get into middle school and high school, we start realizing and looking around and looking at others' parents and situations, and we start realizing that we are hurt. And, you know, the more people kind of hurt us, as our parents did, as Lisa explained, it piles into this big giant snowball and it gets bigger and bigger as it collects more issues. So we go on in our lives and, you know, we've been hurt by our parents, we've been hurt by whatever, mean kids at school, we've been hurt by relationships, we've been hurt by friends, coworkers, all that stuff. Yeah, right. So the more we have I get hurt in our neural patterns, the more we're aware of it and the worse it gets. So I really want you to think about forgiveness, because what it does is it allows us to let go of the pain in the past. Okay, so when we've made that decision to live our life the best we can, and we're doing this now, you and I, in 2019 together, it's time to consider letting go of the things that don't serve you anymore so you can make room for good things in your life. And I say that because it's like the law of attraction stuff we always talk about, and it's real. I'm telling you, it's not hocus pocus. It's not. It's about getting your brain ready for good things. It's very scientific, you know. So let go of the things that don't serve you well. Why do I keep hanging on to someone who has hurt me? Why do I keep hanging on to not being able to forgive someone? We have to learn how to let it go, so that way we can make room for good things to come into our lives. All right. Whether it's rejection or ridicule, deception, abuse, like Lisa was writing about earlier. Clearing out the mental clutter that comes from holding on to grudges and resentments is the most important thing we can do. What it's doing is it's stopping us from moving on, period. Right? How do we embark upon the journey of forgiveness? How do we release ourselves from past hurts and rid ourselves of any emotional baggage, what has been weighing us down, and literally holding us back from good jobs, from better friendships, from good, loving, romantic relationships. You know? It. And by the way, forgiveness, let me clear this up. When you're trying to forgive, it doesn't mean you're condoning what the other person did. It doesn't mean you're giving in or turning the other cheek or pretending that nothing happened and that it wasn't really such a big deal. It's not admitting that your anger isn't justified or forcing yourself to get along with someone who you feel may hurt you again. It's none of that, guys. What it is, it's about freeing up and putting to better use the energy that's being consumed by holding on to grudges and harboring resentments and nursing old wounds. What's going on? It's like, how is this stuff serving me? Huh? How is this rumination I have about how this person and how these people hurt me? It's about moving on. It's about, I make the choice. I'm not going to give the power to anyone else who hurt me in the past. I'm going to choose serenity. I'm going to choose happiness over anger and holding on. It's about refusing to replay the past hurts in our minds over and over again. We ruminate on it. It doesn't serve us anymore. It's about giving ourselves a clean slate. So that's what we have to do. We have to give ourselves a clean slate. Why do we have to do that? Because we can't move on. We can't let go. We can't move on. We can't open our minds and our emotional reasoning up to other relationships that are healthier unless we let it go. Let it go. Okay? And also, please, guys, stop being a victim. Stop telling yourself that because certain things happened to you in the past that you can't have what you want in the present or in the future. Stop blaming others. Yeah, sure, people hurt us. Yes, for sure. It's not our fault.
Most of the time.
Take responsibility for getting on with your life in spite of anything that anyone may have done to you. So what do? You shift from a mentality of being a victim to a creator. Okay? So it's so important to do those things. Be true to yourself. Take care of yourself. Clear your head. Don't be with those people who've hurt you so deeply. If you have deep wounds, as Lisa talks about with her parents who were abusive, you need to step away and clear yourself. You know, to stop doing the things you do to try to please them or try to hate them or try to get back at them. That's just making you sick. It does physically affect you. And also mentally. Physical and mental, one and the same thing. Okay. So what you need to do is make some lists of the folks you feel have wronged you. And why it's not okay. Just put it down on paper in front of your face. Memo it in your phone, whatever you do. Acknowledge they happened. They hurt you. Make a commitment to yourself to do what you need to do in order to feel better. Okay? This is the big one right now. Ready? Recognize that your distress and your anger and your hanging on is not coming from what happened, but the thoughts that you have about what happened. So your thoughts are within your control. It doesn't matter. It's in the past. You don't have to deal with those people who hurt you. If you want to sit down with a good family therapist or a good relationship therapist and in front of a witness and talk to that person nicely and say, you hurt me because why did you do this? Go for it. If you're not ready, and that person certainly is not ready, you know, to work this out, and you're not ready to forgive them, don't even do that. Okay? Put your energy into ways to achieve your goals instead of wasting your thoughts, wasting that beautiful brain of yours by continuously reliving the negative experiences in your head. Okay? What's the best revenge? What do you think it is, guys? Living your life the way you want, taking back your power, not trying to get even with, let it go. Decide what you're going to do for you and make your life the best. It doesn't mean anything anymore. People do things for certain reasons. They have hurts. They have pains. Lisa's parents probably didn't understand how to be good parents. That's all they could do. They did the best they could do. Well, they didn't. But they did the best they could do. Her mother was verbally abusive. Her dad was an alcoholic, verbally and physically abusive. That's all they could do. She has to understand that as an adult. They were adults with stuff, her parents. They were your blood relatives. They're your parents. Love them for who they are. Let it go. Realize as an adult that you get to choose, when you have children, if you want them, that you'll never do that. That was a lesson. Thank you, universe, for giving me that lesson of what I'm not going to do to other people and what I'm not going to do to my kids if I have them. Just really get into these thoughts. You don't have to forgive and say, I'm just like letting all this go. But you've got to stop ruminating and change your thoughts to, what can I do with my brain time to make myself happier and better and more productive? What project can I work on? What kinds of things can I get excited about for me? That is the best way to forgive, is take care of you. Do things that are good for you. Let it go. It's in the past. It's in the past. Doesn't matter. What did you learn from it? That's what you need to do. What did I learn from it? I will never let anyone hurt me again like that in my life. Well, people do hurt us. No, you can't control others, but you can control your mind and yourself. So that's how to forgive others who've hurt you. Take care of you. Allow them to be who they are and let it go. Stop hanging on. And when you're ready, when you've resolved, go see a therapist. Try to take care of your own self-esteem issues, because you really were hurt a lot. You feel low self-esteem about yourself. Maybe you can tell those people who hurt you how you felt. If not, let it go. You can't tell certain people. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about it. It's okay. Move on. Next, it was a life lesson. And that's about it. Now, if you have any questions, you can email me here at straighttalk@gmail.com. I do have a few questions coming in right now. Yeah, but I was. I know you were abused. I know you were hurt. I know. You can't live your life in the past. You got to live right now. How can I move on? How can I take care of me first? And that's what it is. All right. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch today. And what I'm looking at here and answering for you are some of the questions you've had, the most common questions, and some of the best listener questions of 2018. I'm helping you out by giving you suggestions and ideas of how to move on from some of these old hurts. So, we're moving on to one of the most common questions. How do I always, or why rather, I'm sorry, why do I always pick partners who are not good people or aren't good for me? All the time I hear this in my office. All last year I heard this online, read this. And I'm going to refer to Jenna's question. And this came to me in early 2018. This is very typical. I'm 34 and feel really sad, because I found out a guy who I was falling for 8 months is seeing a girl that's 24 years old. Okay, so she's 10 years younger. He's 38. Okay, good for him. I'm sorry. I will not interject any more of my personal comments. I will read this from Jenna. He lied to me and said that I'm the only person he really cares for. I went on Facebook. Saw them together partying and with this other girl, and now she's on his Facebook a lot, and we go out, and he calls me at the last minute. I feel like I'm a booty call. I've had about 4 of these kind of guys in my life. We seem close for a while, and then I find out they have other women on the side. Why do I pick these guys? Do you think it's because I had a rough life growing up? Jenna. Jenna, bless your heart. Listen. We got to figure out why you do keep picking folks like this. All right? Let's think about this. Or are they picking you? They're just picking up on something that you're putting out. Is that kind of desperation a little bit? I don't know. Maybe they're picking up on that. And they're saying, ooh, hey, this girl's beautiful. She's lovely. She's smart. But I know I'm a player, but I can sort of keep her happy for a while and then whatever. So don't beat yourself up about this. Just be a little more aware. So one of our most essential needs as human beings is to love and be loved. Of course, normal. We're wired for relationships from the moment we enter the world. You know, so we kind of think it would be easier for us to pick partners that are really good for us. But so many women, just like Jenna, end up with the wrong guys. So many guys end up with the wrong women. And we can't understand why. And this goes for gay couples, all sorts of sexual orientations, all types of couples. Why do we pick the wrong person in our life? Why do I date commitment phobes? Why am I a magnet for people who cheat? Why do I find people who always want to control me? Okay. So let's be really honest with each other. Number one, we have all made choices about people out of fear. Right? I fear I won't find somebody. I fear I'm going to be alone. So fear, though, is one of the worst decision makers when we choose a partner. We can make choices out of fear. We are ignoring a deeper truth. Okay? Research has shown that a lot of us are willing to stay in unhappy and unfulfilling relationships because we're intimidated by the prospect of being alone. What the reality is for me and what I see every day in my office is that women and men, all types of sexual orientation relationships, what we should fear the most is spending the rest of our lives with the wrong person. Okay? You've got to really get it in your head. Are you with somebody because you're afraid to be alone? Well, I can look over that. Well, I guess that person's doing this to me. Well, I guess they're just... We're always looking for the benefit of the doubt. And we stay in these relationships too long sometimes. And it's important to realize, now get this, this is one of my favorite things that I tell people. We're unhappy. We're choosing to be unhappy now because we're afraid to be unhappy later. You see what I'm saying? We're going to be unhappy later. What does that mean? We're going to be alone? Ah, scary. We got to get alone. We got to be alone with ourselves. We got to learn who we are and stop relying on other people, especially those who aren't healthy and we're just kind of jumping into these unhealthy relationships. We got to learn to be with people who are healthier by learning to be alone and okay with being alone and learning who we are first and what our needs are and resolving some of our low self-esteem issues and why we need to cling. It's not scary to come home alone, watch your favorite programs, be with your friends, hang out, learn about yourself, go to therapy, do the best you can do, take care of your mental and physical health, get to know who you are. Unresolve is really bad for people who keep piling negativity on it, You've got to resolve a lot of those old issues. You've got to take care of yourself first, okay? So don't be fearful. It's okay to not be with someone, especially someone who's unhealthy for you. Move on and learn who you are first. Be the best you can be for you, and then you'll find people who are better for you. Something else I want you to kind of understand, too, is we often are unconsciously drawn to the same dysfunction over and over because it strikes a familiar chord, right? Right? So Jenna, yeah, I want you to just hear this. A lot of times we're re-experiencing a lot of the wounds that we had in childhood. A lot of the research shows that we tend to pick partners who share similar negative characteristics with our primary caregivers. I've heard this all the time. Okay? So we all have mental and emotional wounds. When the wounds are deep enough and go unaddressed, it becomes kind of pathological. Okay. We tend to seek out other wounded people. Those who kind of feed our problems. Okay? We don't do this because we're gluttons for punishment. Because what we're trying to do is heal our original wound. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, people who grow up with parents who are neglectful or absent or unwittingly open to being loving. Okay? We seek relationships with people who are similar. We date people we need to fix, or we find ourselves in a pattern of dating people who put us down. Okay? We usually have some emotional wounds that we need to deal with. All right? It feels familiar from our upbringing. A lot of people say, oh, I'm dating my dad. He was a cheater, and he ignored me, and he was mean and abusive. But that's what's comfortable to me. I think that's what's normal. Stop looking at the past and blaming him. Yeah, he had issues. You get to take care of you now. But just sort of look at some of those unconscious feelings that may be drawing you to the same people who were unhealthy. Am I trying to resolve something from the past? Do I want to fix someone? Stop being a fixer. Stop being codependent and fixing someone. That doesn't serve you. You don't need a person project. You need to get into a field of being a caregiver. Become a nurse or a therapist or some, I don't know. A counselor. Something. But don't try to fix partners. Don't get with someone you want to fix. All right. One more thing. Why do we find people who are wrong for us? Because of our low self-esteem. And that has to do with, you know, growing up, early childhood stuff. Nothing interferes with the ability to have an authentic, reciprocal partnership like chronic low self-esteem. When we're operating from a place of low self-worth, right? We're just hanging on to it. It's heavy. It's that voice in the back of our head every day. What we're doing is ignoring the red flags and we're settling for relationships that don't serve us well. All right. And also that spreads out to people who criticize us at work, friends who hurt us, anything we're very sensitive to because we have low self-esteem. So people who may often look at us the wrong way or say things that may be construed as hurtful, whatever, we really hurt because of our low self-esteem. So really take a look at that because we're going to work on that next. Because what we're doing here is we're looking at the best and most common listener questions of last year, 2018. That's what I'm doing. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch with me here today on LA Talk Radio. Yeah, the world's best talk radio station that helps you out here on the couch every Friday at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time in beautiful Los Angeles. As we move on, I am answering these questions or just trying to help you out. I'm not your therapist. And I'm not telling you to do these things. I'm just giving you some ideas on how to move past some of those old wounds. Okay? So we were just talking about why we pick partners here. And I'm getting some emails at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And the emails generally are saying, how can I gain more self-esteem? I've had a lot of abuse in my life. I've been told that I was unworthy. I've been dumped a lot. Okay. And, you know, it's very common. We all have a little bit of self-doubt. Every single human on this earth has some kind of issue about self-doubt. We compare ourselves with others, especially in the day and age of social media. Everybody's a PR campaign. Everybody looks hot. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's got friends. Everybody's traveling. Yeah. Not really. It's a PR campaign. It's all good. We know that. Right? Yes, of course. We try to look our best. We want to present ourselves the best. What does it do for us? Social media makes us feel better about ourselves if we pump ourselves up and pose and looking good. Do those selfies. But we compare ourselves with others. Well, they're looking better than me. Well, they're having more fun. Well, they're more successful. Well, I should be. No, you shouldn't. Well, you've got to be okay with who you are and start from ground zero. So let's talk about that. How can I gain more self-esteem? One of the most asked questions of 2018. Moving on, changing ourselves into the new year as we look at ourselves. What we do sometimes is we have little faces that we put on when we have self-esteem issues. It's not always easy to recognize. We just feel bad about ourselves. We feel slighted or we feel sensitive. But there are three common faces that I found in my experience that low self-esteem may wear. And this is what I was just talking about with, you know, like social media, posting things. Sometimes we come off as the imposter. And what I'm saying is we act happy and successful. We're acting like we're popular and we're... What it is sometimes is we're trying so hard because we're really terrified of failure and being judged. And we have the constant fear that we're going to be found out. Am I hitting on something here for you? Right? We need continuous successes and appearances that we're always happy and successes to maintain the mask of positive self-esteem. All right, so this leads to competition, burnout, jealousy. Too much work. Damn, I'm telling you. But anyway, so one of the faces we put on there out there in the world is the imposter. Sure, it's always nice to put on a happy face or be cool, chill, and shut up, not talk about yourself. Yeah, that's fine, but that's where you draw the line. Don't be acting all the time. You'll really be sad, and that'll make you more depressed. Be real. Keep it real. Number two face we put on a lot of times is the rebel. The people who do this because they have low self-esteem, we live with constant anger about not feeling good enough. We continuously need to prove that others' judgments and criticisms don't hurt. Okay. The rebel blames others. We break rules. We oppose authority. We have no boundaries. We don't care. All right. Number three. And this is what I find out more in my practice is the victim. A lot of times people act helpless and unable to cope with the world. We wait for someone to come and rescue us. Yep. Just like Jenna does, and I really think you're a sweetheart, Jenna, but you're waiting for someone to rescue you, so you pick the wrong people. What happens sometimes when we have low self-esteem is we use self-pity or indifference as a shield against fear of taking responsibility for changing our lives. We look repeatedly for others to guide us. We always ask our friends, what do you think? Well, I've asked all my friends, what do they think about this guy? What do they think about this girl? What do they think I should do? You got to take care of you and find your own truth and what feels good. The victim always looks at other people to judge how they're doing in their life. So you've got to become more assertive. You've got to become comfortable with who you are. You got to make goals for yourself. And you've got to stop relying on others and how they feel about you and how they think about you and how you present yourself in social media. Keep it real. Okay. So, you know, what we can do with really taking care of ourselves. There's three steps. Let's get to it right now. Three steps to improved self-esteem. Number one. Just argue against that inner critic. I'm right in the middle of working on
a book,
as we always are, aren't we? It's called Beating the Bully Inside. We all are bullies to ourselves. So the first important step in improving self-esteem is to start challenging those negative messages or that critical inner voice, that little voice. Whoever told you were not worthy, whoever told you weren't good enough, whoever told you were not attractive enough, or you weren't going to make it, or you were dumber than your siblings, or you... You've got to go against that. You've got to just totally defy that inner critic. So an inner voice that generalizes unrealistically. You know, stop saying negative things about yourself and switch out those thoughts and those inner critic comments you have going on in your head. Like, he looked at me the wrong way, or my boss is frowning. He didn't say anything and he didn't say hi this morning. He must be mad at me. I did something wrong. Or she turned me down when I asked her out a couple of times. She didn't text me back right away. I'm so embarrassed and humiliated. I don't think she really cares for me. And I think she's going to dump me. I find so many women like this. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not coming off right when I text or when I'm reaching out to people. At first we match and then it looks good. And then all of a sudden she's on to the next person, or she doesn't really want to follow up. Maybe something. What did I say? I'm not good looking enough. I'm not. Stop. Stop it. An inner voice that catastrophizes. Stop it. Say, I'm fine. It's cool. Somebody doesn't want to text me back. Someone doesn't like me. Someone's not interested in me. They're not following through. I'm keeping reaching out like an idiot. Let it go. I don't want someone who doesn't want me. Okay. Don't assume that if people are frowning or saying things that are not very nice or whatever, sometimes they're just having a bad day too. They've got issues. You know? And stop putting yourself down. Stop self-doubting. Like I had somebody come in. Oh, man. They were public speakers. They were motivators. And they kept saying to me, you know, people said that they liked my presentation, what I had to say to the company, but it was nowhere near as good as it should have been. I can't believe no one noticed all the places I messed up. Oh, God, I'm such a phony. I'm really getting away with a lot of things. I know people, sometimes people must think that I'm really an idiot. Stop those thoughts. Do the best you can do. Read. Number two, practice self-compassion. Please forgive yourself when you don't do all you'd hoped. Please be gentle with yourself and rather than critical of yourself. This doesn't mean you're going to get lazy. This doesn't mean you're going to give up. Just forgive yourself. Be a little more self-compassionate to yourself. You're human. Hello. We all make mistakes. We're all impacted by external factors we cannot control. Mistakes are inevitable. That's how we learn. Bless those mistakes. Be mindful of your emotions. All right? Mindfulness? That's just like being aware and trying not to judge yourself for having negative emotions. Emotions come and go. They pass. You know, don't get overwhelmed by your feelings. Step number three, you can get help from other people. Ask support. Do you have a support group? Have some friends you can talk to. Have some family members who you feel safe with. All right? If you're in university or you're in any kind of school or you have a good personal mentor at work, get help. Ask them. Ask them questions. And of course, talk to a therapist or a counselor. Yeah, they won't judge you. Sometimes low self-esteem can feel so painful or difficult to overcome that the professional help of somebody like a therapist or psychologist or a counselor, you know, really they can help you explore your feelings. Non-judgmental. So you have to change up your story a little bit about yourself. Love that which you are. That's my thing. Take care of yourself first. Okay? Increase those feelings of self-worth. All right? All right. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. I'm just still looking at this going, what else can I do to say about helping with self-esteem? But I think I've covered the biggies here. So what I'm doing today here on the couch is I'm looking at the best and most common listener questions of 2018. And I'm trying to help you out by answering them. And not necessarily telling you what to do, but just giving you ideas and suggestions about how to kind of tackle some of these issues that you've been dealing with for so long. It's about time. It's a new year. Come on now. Get some help. And again, I'm not your therapist, so we don't have a therapeutic relationship. I'm just throwing some ideas out there about some of the things I've learned. All right, here's a number four biggie. One of the questions that I get all the time. How do I know that I'm ready for a long-term romantic relationship? All right, how do I know? Well, you got to ask yourself some questions. I mean, a lot of people know. They say, I know, I'm ready. I've been through a lot of bad relationships. I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've been used. I'm taking care of myself. And I'm ready for some healthy people. Good for you. That's awesome. But a lot of people say, as I said earlier, I'm lonely. I really am ready for a relationship. Okay, that's good. But you have to kind of know and kind of line up and really get yourself prepared. This is why I emphasize the part about taking some downtime from relationship after relationship after jumping into these things and just kind of being alone and getting some help. Look at yourself independently. Spend some time within. Okay? So let's look at relationship readiness. How do I know I'm ready for a long-term relationship? Well, write down the answers to these questions. Ready? Do I know what I want? I'm telling you, I'm laughing at myself because it's like, dang, it was really important. I had to look at these questions myself a long time ago. I know what I want. Do I know what I want? Do I have a clear vision for my life and relationship? Do I know what I want? Okay. Write this one down. Do I know my requirements? Should I write down a list of at least, maybe 7 non-negotiable, high-priority requirements that I use for screening partners? Okay. What are the deal breakers? What do I know I don't want in a partner? What do I know that I'm willing to sort of take a pass on? That's a little annoying, but I can live with. All right. And what do I know that I absolutely want? So what do I know that I don't want? What do I know that I can live with? What do I know that I absolutely require and want in a relationship? Am I clear? Write it down. Look at it every day. You're kind of pondering, this will help you keep from picking people who are not nice for you. All right, number three. Am I happy and successful on my own? Am I independent and okay with who I am on my own right now? Do I enjoy my life, my work, or my searching work? My education, my schooling? Do I enjoy my family, my friends, my own company? Okay. Am I not seeking a relationship out of desperation and need? Am I okay with who I am without somebody else? You got to ask yourself that. Am I okay on different parts of my life, just by myself? Am I seeking someone to fill up the empty parts within myself? You don't want to do that. You got to be pretty full with who you are and okay with who you are and ready to find somebody who's just as healthy as you. Here's another one. Ask yourself, am I ready and available for commitment? Have I taken care of a lot of the emotional baggage from a previous relationship? Have I really got my act together and learned how not to blame people how not to be a victim, how not to criticize, how to speak in a healthy manner to people. Am I ready to commit to a lifestyle and a relationship? Can I free up my schedule of working 10 to 12 hours a day to commit to a relationship? Huh? Got to do that. Well, my job just requires me. I mean, I take home all my work on the weekends. I know. I get it. Boy, do I get it. But you got to have a little, you got to loosen yourself up a little bit. Or get done what you need to get done and, you know, make time for scheduling relationship times for yourself. Because, you know, being too busy all the time is a great excuse to cover up for fear of getting into a relationship. Look at that one. All right. Are you ready for a relationship? Ask yourself this one. Am I satisfied with my work and my career? If I'm not satisfied with what I want to do in life and my work and my career, and I'm looking for someone else to make me feel better about myself, wrong. Ask yourself this one. How do I know I'm ready for a long-term relationship? Am I healthy in mind, body, and spirit? Well, no, most of us aren't. I'm not on either, any of these counts, but are we doing the best we can to sort of get clear and be better people? Are we taking care of ourselves? No, we don't have to spend 2 hours in the gym, get up every morning at 5 and kill ourselves. No. Am I just sort of eating well, better? Yeah. Am I really being conscious that I need to exercise at least maybe 4 days a week, but not kill myself? And spiritually, am I getting in touch with the higher person that I am? You know what spirituality is? It's loving yourself. It's being grateful for what you have in this life, no matter what. Okay? All right, number 7. Am I ready for a long-term relationship? How to know? Is my financial and sort of legal stuff pretty good? No, you don't have to be uber wealthy. Okay, but am I kind of squared away? I mean, do I have income? Do I have a job? Right. All right. Number 8. Are my family relationships sort of functional? Can I clean up some of these unresolved relationships? Can I do that? Well, unlike Lisa earlier, who just said she's really having a hard time forgiving her abusive parents. Yeah, that we can't just open our arms and say, I forgive you, when we're still hurt from abusive parents and all that. But are there certain family relationships that are somewhat functional? Because when we hold on to hate and anger and we refuse to speak to our siblings over some stupid thing for years, it's just really unhealthy. And so what we do is we project that onto our relationships. Yeah, you don't want to do that. So you better clean that one up before you jump into another long-term relationship. Try to clean up some of your relationships and learn how to, you know, forgive and be gentle towards those family members who you do a little better with. Okay. And do you have effective relationship skills? Do you know how to draw boundaries with people? Do you know how to maintain closeness and intimacy? Are you kind and empathetic? Do you communicate well? Do you allow yourself to trust and be vulnerable? Are you humble? Are you allowing yourself to receive love without emotional barriers? Yeah. Most of us can't. It's really hard to open up and do that. Really hard. But you know what? Gotta do these things for yourself. That's how you know if you're ready for a long-term relationship. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I've had such a great time today. Thank you guys so much for emailing me all of your questions. We've been tackling the best and most common listener questions of 2018, and thank you. And you can continue to ask me questions and email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com throughout 2019, because it's going to be a better year for all of us. I'm here to help you on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. As I always say, do take care of yourself first. And then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Hope I could help you out today. Have a beautiful week and Happy New Year. Bye-bye.